Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. This podcast is dedicated to our favourite listener in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's right.
Dave Darnell. Dave, this is your special.
Friend to the show and happy birthday this
also
week.
Also, his son is a fellow fan of Bama. Roll Tide!
Yeah, his dogs are called Crimson, Bama and Bear.
Really?
Yeah.
He's named one on Bear after Bear Bryant. Yeah. Excellent. I don't get me wrong, I love Bear Bryant, but the fact remains, Nick Saban is better because the times are more competitive and he's just, I can't go through it now, Gav. It'll blow your mind.
Sure.
I don't know. Do you know, Gav, I would take you through it, but it would blow your mind.
I'm sure it would.
You'd be left with nothing for the bank holiday weekend. you'd miss to be going, what is it, Gav?
Just grunts.
Yeah.
That's all you get.
Gavin, why can't you talk anymore? Mind blown.
How will she tell?
Yeah. Hey. Coming up, are you looking for an investment opportunity? Are you tired of hearing others talk about their property portfolios? Stay here for your chance to join the 4 till 7 Mansion Millionaires Scheme. Plus, I alert you to the ugliest side of lockdown yet, and the Woodman has a Spanish king dying in hilarious fashion, wallowing in the fat of his heroic little slot. It's how I'd want to go. Yeah. Enjoy.
Radio X.
So, I've got a bad... I met up with a mate of mine, two metres apart, in a park.
Yeah. Yes.
His daughter was seeing a friend of hers in her garden nearby, so...
Safely, he
was in the area, I got a call. So, I've actually seen a mate, someone outside our immediate circle of 4 till 7 thangers.
Was it weird?
Locked out. Really weird.
Because I haven't done that yet.
No, it was kind of strange. I've known him since I was 12.
Wow.
13, this guy. He's a really old friend of mine. I just... Mm. We ended up, you know, I ended up... doing things you never do, like asking how his wife is and stuff.
You never, ever
No, I don't think we've
before.
Ever mentioned it.
Never came up.
How's the missus? And he looked at me like, John, it's me.
John, is this you?
John, it's me. This is fine. What?
Don't
what?
Have to what? Ask that. Yeah.
Still the same, I'm afraid. Yeah, we're arguing.
Did it feel awkward? This is not someone you'd feel awkward with normally.
No, it was fine. What we warmed up on.
Yeah.
Is the fact that he enjoys the force or something. All right, Chris. Enjoys the 4 till 7 thing.
Yeah.
But he was saying there's something we haven't covered that he feels is really urgent.
What's that?
This is something, and he showed me photographic evidence of it.
Okay, yeah.
Brought along evidence, knowing I'd like to see this.
Yeah.
And he's talking about domestic fly tipping.
Ah. Yeah, that's self-explanatory, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, things you don't expect to
yes.
see.
Well, no, what he meant was, is that people are doing real, really tidying up their houses, yeah?
Yeah.
People are doing lots of really getting stuff done, having what they call... You know, it's those days you dread where your missus goes, I've had a major clear out. You look and you think,
oh,
what of mine have you thrown away? I bet it's the only thing from all that I wanted to keep.
That's right.
No,
yeah.
I just threw it out. What?
What?
No, no, what? No, no.
What do you mean you've had a
no.
sort through?
No.
Don't sort through
no.
it.
No. What do you mean they all had to go? What?
What?
All these weird Chelsea magazines.
No!
Those are programs. They were all...
Those old weird punk records.
They were old. Anyway, the point is, he's showing these pictures of where... what she's done is just moved her stuff to make it his problem around the house.
Oh, now, to bits of the house, yeah.
I've suffered this a little bit myself, yeah?
Right.
With the woman I live with.
Yeah.
And do you know what?
Go on.
It's all gone on top of my football table.
Oh, so all your stuff?
No, everything. Everything that's just sort of, you know...
And did she say she'd had a sort through?
Yes.
Right.
Major clear out. But it hasn't. It's just like, literally, you might as well just get a forklift truck just to move stuff around that. It's like, ding, 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 boom, ding, 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 ding.
And it's effectively fly tip.
Well, just put it in a small box bedroom.
Yeah.
Which is sort of where I like to go and have a nap. And now you just can't move. It's just like opening the back of a container lorry.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's really annoying.
No, domestic fly tipping. Anyway, Chris, my mate, he sent me pictures of his. He's got, his missus has put something on every single stair going up there for him to sort out
to
later.
Consider moving.
He's thinking, that's the easy bit, just putting it on the stairs. Now he's got to find somewhere for each of that.
And all of those things he probably thought, I brought this downstairs.
Yes. I hate that line. No, I've moved all your stuff, so now you can sort that all out. That's nice. Then you're thinking, what?
I already sorted it.
It was fine where it was.
The shelves were why I put the books in the first place, yeah.
I knew where everything was. There's nothing worse, is there? The people presuming that's a mess. That is
no, that was my system.
Moving your mess, that has set the process back. Anyway, domestic fly tipping, please. Domestically, every day I come home to a desk with a buffet of new items to sort and put away after the missus claimed she's cleaned the house. It's a daily routine. Thank you for that. Already the tales are coming in. I want who's moving them, and yeah. I want where they've moved them to and yes. what they are.
And where are they and why is that there? That's
who,
what we need, yeah.
Who, what, where? Yeah. Where are these accumulation points for domestic fly tipping? This is an interesting one, so I'm not quite sure who's guilty here, Gav.
Okay.
This is Jack in Liphook.
Okay.
Thank you very much for this, Jack. My wife's moved my engine block from the kitchen to the back door for me to take down to the garage. God, I tell you, strong woman.
Strong woman. Definitely.
And this is another amazing thing. I mean, just generally, I'm not saying it's some sort of sexist thing, but the strength that sometimes that women can summon when you're not there to move something incredibly heavy. You're sort of thinking, wow, how'd she do that?
Is it rage,
yes.
do you think?
And you sort of see they look a bit flushed up, like it was an effort.
No, that's in the garage
now. They're just
now,
calmly
yeah.
washing up. You're thinking, what?
You need one of those things on wheels, like those little cranes
right.
for an engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really heavy.
You move 3 tons of gravel. Wow, I am impressed with you.
What?
Anyway, I don't say that patronisingly or in a sort of mansplainy way. Hello, good sirs. Excuse me. Greetings. Greetings, good fellow. This is Ben in Derbyshire. I hate the phrase, where does this live? Oh, man, I hate that. He gets that from his wife. He says, the reply is always, it lived wherever you found it. That's Ben in Derbyshire. I hate that one. Where does this live? You're thinking, well, it was actually quite happy there. Yeah. It's been there for a while, and I know where it is now.
It was fine.
This is extraordinary. Thank you so much for this. Hi, chaps. I like being addressed as chaps. Nice. Hi, hey. Chaps. I think this may be at the top of the list of domestic fly tipping. My hubby was in the Royal Navy. Went away. I can forgive the lad anything.
Let's hear the rest of this tale.
I'll hear the rest of his tale. I'd be telling you it right now. I'd be honest. Anyway, my hubby was... My hubby was in the Royal Navy. Went away to sea. Just even reading those words.
Can't you say
it gives me goosebumps?
It does.
Just
yeah.
to see, went away to sea.
To seek his adventure.
Fortune. Hi, chaps. I think this may be at the top of the list of domestic fly tipping. My hubby was in the... My hubby was in the Royal Navy, went away to sea.
Go on, get past it. Go on, I want to know what happened.
I can't, Gav. I can't get past it. For a four-month trip, he left a dismantled car engine in front of the back door.
What, got in the way of the door? That is fly tipping.
I wish it had been like a marine engine. Like something with stinking of diesel.
Oh, diesel.
Yeah. Luckily, the kids and I could just prise the door open enough to get out. Can that be topped? That's some great domestic fly tipping. Guy's about to go to
sea. He's gone for 4 months.
He's about to go to sea for 4 months. What does he do?
Leaves
a car engine right by the back door. Good domestic fly tipping. And you're right, it does nearly top it. How about this one? My wife once moved a washing machine. We're just talking about women lifting, really.
Yeah,
heavy, really surprising
strength,
thing.
Yeah.
My wife once moved a washing machine while I was working away. Took two of us blokes to put it back in position. That's Cyan Accrington. Gav, what you got?
This is from John in Somerset. I file all my important post on the table where I open it. My system is perfect until my wife puts it away whilst I'm out, ruining the perfection of my filing. I call this hidying.
It is hidying.
It is hidying, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You knew where it was. Now you don't know where it is.
No, it's hiding. That's genius. That might well be our That might well be our, what's it, what quarter are we in now? Second quarter. That could be our third quarter big new item.
Yeah, hiding.
Seriously, we could take that on from July. Hiding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's mileage. The flavour.
There's so much mileage in that. It's got its own new word.
Yeah.
It's tidier than domestic fly tipping.
Yeah.
It's just genius. Thank you so much for that. What you got there, Gav?
Reese in Salford says, my girlfriend moves a flat's worth of my possessions onto my pillow stroke side of the bed every evening as she tidies. Finding car keys and a bottle opener under my pillow is exactly what I need before bed.
He's found a car keys and a bottle opener.
A bottle opener.
Well, a bottle opener actually does have its uses.
Well, isn't car keys and a bottle opener in Reese's case, isn't that the same item?
I don't know, just... Yeah, right. I don't know, it sounds quite sexy. I left my car keys under
and a bottle opener.
Yeah, right. For me, that's a...
a little hint.
That's a result. Yeah, right.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Gav, you know I'm frightened of nothing, as you know, yeah?
Sure. Sure, TJ.
Sure. You,
fearless.
You know I am,
sure.
Right? You know, but you know that, yeah?
Of course, I've seen you laugh in the face of fear.
You've seen me walk into some pretty bad scrapes,
sure.
A laughing and a joking, and coming out, literally, the bodies behind me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bodies start dropping.
But you know, the TJs, I'm not afraid of anything.
Sure.
But there is a new invader in Britain, hogweed, and this is terrifying. Your friendly neighbourhood, Tej.
It's not the giant hogweed,
yeah.
Is it?
Giant hogweed has secured a foothold across the country, prompting warnings that the fight against the most dangerous invasive species, we might just lose it. Well, what happens then? What do you mean we've lost?
What?
Well, that's it, is it?
Are we just giving up?
We're all finished! No, we're lost. It's going to run the country, that's it. You might as well just surrender. Why don't you just get the army up against it?
Yeah.
It's a plant. A plant has won.
That can't be right. This is
the
Triffids.
No one saw that coming. I mean, I'm always, as you know, I'm always looking for the next emergent ape.
Yes.
Seriously, I'm always looking for a rival ape. Since we did away the Neanderthals, we haven't really had a rival there.
Yeah.
Especially as we've continued to crush the gorilla.
Yeah.
But no one saw it coming from the plant world. Anyway, Gav, get this.
Go on.
Burns caused by the plant are very painful. They leave scars. Its sap contains chemicals that react with light.
I have come across this plant. I've been injured by this plant.
Well, what happened?
It felt like someone had... I had blisters, like burns.
Oh, my... You've got to keep it out of the sun. I'm going to tell you a horrendous story.
Go on.
It's feared... But this is what I love, yeah? One guy from the Royal Horticultural Society. I've got to tell you, this is why... This thing has been allowed to win because of thinking like this.
Go on. This guy,
I don't know what sort of world he's lost in, but I hope he's got a dog called Timmy and friends called Julian, Dick and Anne. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
He says, it's feared that children may mistake it for cow parsley. Yeah, because then they'll think, it's all right, it's cow parsley. We can play here. We'll have a picnic here. But get this, Gav, it gets even worse.
Go on.
It's feared that children may mistake it for cow parsley. It's fine. Get this. And use its hollow stems as telescopes or pea shooters.
Like one does.
What? There are no children
this
still going in there.
This is smartphone era here.
Yeah, this will make a smashing pea shooter.
Have you got any dock leaves
quick,
for this little bird?
Quick, run, the Rozzers. Anyway,
<Go on.
laughs> Guy Barter, he didn't say that to me, but Guy Barter, he's chief horticulturalist at the Royal Horticultural Society, said this year flooding may have carried it downstream.
Wow.
There's no stream in canals. He then cites canals. It can't happen.
Yeah, that's weird.
He has named a couple of rivers it could have gone down, but he says the beast has purple blood. He calls it the beast. The beast has purple blotches and coarse hairs on its stems. In most places where you see it in the summer, it's enormous. It's very pretty. Do not touch it. Do not grow it. There's a map of where it's occurring around Britain, right, Gav?
Right.
But get this. Dean Simmons, a horticulturalist, suffered life-changing leg injuries.
Wow.
After brushing against one of the plants in 2015. Get this.
Go on.
He says, I was out fishing. I didn't see it until it was too late. A day late, I was on morphine. The burns and pain are agony and I can't walk.
Wow.
How about that?
That's serious.
Keith Cooper ended up in hospital after he went to look at a very pretty plant. After his wife Maria had seen it in the undergrowth. Can I just say, be very suspicious of your wife there.
Yeah, good point.
Oh, look at that plant, darling.
Get in there and pick some for us.
Go, why don't you go in there and get it? You sure, love? It looks a bit... No, it'll be fine. Go and pick a nice big bet for us.
Little bit further.
Little bit. Getting warmer. Anyway, Gav.
Yeah.
Mr. Cooper of Howden, Tyne and Weir. Oh, sorry, he's a Geordie.
Yeah.
I didn't realise he'd stumbled across Jane Hugwiley. And the doctors warned he wouldn't be able to expose his badly burnt right leg to sunlight until 2022, Gavin.
What?
I know. He said, aye, the sap rubbed against me, but was didn't realise it didn't wart. I just thought I'd been bitten, you know. It was only when he came home that my right leg flared up.
and started blistering.
His right leg flared up.
Yeah, it's weird. My leg really did. It was like blisters.
Imagine if your leg flared up.
Yeah.
But actually it looked like when you're naked, you were wearing flares.
Now that's a look that you don't want.
Yes.
You don't want that naturally.
Like purple.
The naturally occurring bell-bottom condition.
He woke up with purple flares made of skin.
And that'd be really odd, wouldn't it? That'd be
really odd.
It'd be really odd if the giant hogweed did sort of turn you like just... like 70s. You end up just looking like a wizard.
And his feet look like cherry DMs for the rest of his life.
Yeah, you made your feet look like you're always wearing DMs. Anyway, watch horrible. Out for that. Most people know about foxglove and deadly nightshade, but not as many know about giant hogweed. So if you're out there with your kids, a lot of people are going to be going out now.
Yeah, be careful.
Just be careful. Yeah, your kids, sure, they're going to want to make telescopes and pea shooters.
Always wear a strong trouser. Yeah. That'll help.
Yeah, wear a thorn-proof trouser available at any decent market town menswear shop, such as County Squire, Fribbins of Bedford, stuff like that.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Relax, everybody. Apple's opening its stores again in America.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God for that. Because that stuff's not available. You can't send off for that stuff.
No, well, it goes off, doesn't it, on the shelves.
It does,
that's why they have to have the stores open.
Absolutely right, Kevin. Absolutely right. Okay, now listen. Earlier on, I promised you a sincere opportunity to get involved with the 4 till 7 thing, Mansion Millionaires. That's me, Gav, Big Si, and now you could join that. We're not going to allow little Si into this.
This is very exciting, this venture.
We've got to keep it tight, Gav.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. In Monmouthshire, near Monmouth, which, as you know, is sort of Wales, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in the Wye Valley.
Okay.
There is, for $200,000,
yeah,
we can pick up... a 33-bedroomed stately home. Well, we can pick that up for $200,000.
Is it listed?
Yeah, it's grade two listed. So that means... you can't really... it's like this show. We can't mess with the structure of it.
Okay.
But you can do the content.
You can decorate.
Yeah, you can. Whatever happens in the slots, that's us.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
But the show, that's its... You know, there's a cast iron winning formula. Yeah?
Yeah.
And we stick to that. Yeah?
Fine. Yeah, yeah. Sounds good.
Monmouth House, and I've been online, and let me tell you, it's a hole. And always, the key to this is, never go where nuns have been.
Yeah,
that's something
kind, yeah.
If I want to impress something on you,
yeah,
because we were really excited about this. 33 bedrooms, three of us in the syndicate. We figure 11 bedrooms each.
Yeah.
And rather than divide it into flats, we just thought we'd have three of us, but we sort of muddle it up. So you might have three kitchens in a row. Or like you've got a flat there, but it's not divided into flats.
No, no.
Because they won't let you do that with a grade two. So your kids' bedrooms might be next to, say, some of my staff.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
You know, my entourage.
Yeah.
But get the history of this house. This
33 bedrooms.
Yep. This is Troy House. It's a mansion once hosted Henry VII once went there. What everyone forgets is kings were always on tour. If you've got any big building around Britain.
They never stopped.
They never stopped. Because there was no TV or radio, Gav.
And you had to receive the king in splendour, so he wasn't paying for anything.
Yeah, and also then he has to show his displeasure and be slightly moody. It was a way to... they were always, literally, the king was always on tour.
Right, wow.
I mean, they didn't have, like, T-shirts and stuff.
No.
You know, list of stately homes.
Or roadies.
Sold out.
They probably did have roadies.
They had loads of roadies.
Do you think they had martial singlets in those days?
No, but footmen were essentially roadies. Anyway.
Go on.
It's later home to nuns of a Catholic order. Guy Pride, $200,000.
It's very reasonable.
Yeah, it was. It was owned for centuries by the Dukes of Beaufort. As you know, Dukes of Beaufort then become Earls of Pembroke, which becomes Lord Raglan.
Of course.
Inventor
everyone knows
of
that.
The sleeve, the Raglan sleeve.
Of course, yeah. Wow.
So if it's a Raglan, it's a Pembroke. And a Pembroke is a Beaufort.
It's a Beaufort.
Yeah, right. It had a glorious Tudor past. I was just reading about some of the history.
Hmm.
There's women who are obsessed, not only with and men, but particularly if women get into this area of history, every time I see it on television.
Okay, yeah.
Where they really know the ins and outs of just another stately home, and they just find it incredibly interesting. It's like they can't handle today's gossip.
Okay.
Yeah, they sort of go for
gossip.
So they're just like history's gossip.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get these sort of weird things. It says in her book, Troy House, A Tudor Estate Across Time, the historian Anne Benson shows that Troy incorporates large parts of earlier houses, so it's all incorporated. 33 bedrooms, guys.
That's insane.
33 bedrooms, yeah. But he'd entertain the Earl of Pembroke entertained Henry VII and his pregnant queen, Elizabeth of York, in August 1502. He held a meeting of his council rather than at Raglan Castle, home of the Earls of Pembroke. Yeah. It was described as a palace at the funeral elegy of Blanche Herbert, the Queen's hostess.
Ah, Blanche Herbert.
You must know Blanche.
Everyone knows that.
No, Herbert. She played a major part in the education of the children, particularly Elizabeth I. You must know that.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, here's another great thing. I love the detail about anything royal that's touched a house.
Yeah.
They were like the sort of, I don't know, like the George Clooney's of the day.
Yes. Yes.
So it says, you know, you get sometimes you stay at a hotel and you go, that's exactly the seat George Clooney sat there.
Yeah, George Clooney's cousin had dinner
there. In this very tea shop.
Yeah.
And he had a lemon drizzle cake and he said the tea was a bit funny. Anyway, get this. In the Civil War, apricots from Troy's garden were presented to Charles I at Raglan Castle after his defeat at the Battle of Naseby.
My God.
For me,
that is serious history.
That's what means you should want to get involved with this investment opportunity.
Yeah.
All we need is 200 grand.
Yeah.
We've got 33 bedrooms.
They've got a lot we can do with it.
Well, I'm just trying to think about our initial... If you go online and look at it, it is a, like anywhere where nuns have been, Cav, is a hole.
Yeah, I think it was a school at one point or something.
No, no, it's worse. Well, not a school. It was the sisters ran Troy as a convent and a girls' school. It had a later phase as a special school for boys.
Right.
So you know it's a hole.
Yes.
Whatever it was, it's been ripped out
to
make classrooms.
Yeah. It's got four mica everywhere.
Yeah, it's one of those rooms that's got like... It's one of those houses, you look at a photo and there's like a huge room with nine different sofas all around the walls.
Right. No tile ceilings.
Yeah, no two chairs the same. It's a hole. But listen, if you want to get on board, Gav and I, initially, how many investors are we looking for, Gav?
Well, there's three of us. We'd need at least another.
I think 33.
33
I
investors.
I think it's you get a room each.
Radio X.
Johnny, hate about people who aren't bald.
What?
Well, they just assume it must be all we're obsessed with trying to, we're ill.
Yes.
If you are bald.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they just assume we must spend all our time trying to cure it. It's not an illness. Don't be fooled like people who get hair transplants. No, the transplant is a word like, it's for hearts.
That's
and
right,
livers
yeah.
and things of health. It's not that.
Yeah, life-threatening issues.
What you just want to do is literally form like a living wig.
Yeah. That's right.
It's not even that. It's just a wig.
It's doll hair.
Yeah, as soon as people have like, you know, a hair transplant, as they call it, or hair implants, whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's just a perma wig.
It is,
they've just got a wig made of their own hair.
Yeah, it's a wig you can comb with more confidence.
I just laugh at them. I just laugh.
Definitely,
I think it's ridiculous that you could think hair is so important. As you go on in life, hair doesn't look good on older people anyway.
No.
You know, it's just a bit weird.
I know. I mean, Wayne Rooney's going to look like a werewolf eventually.
Yes.
He just gets hairier every year.
But it's just weird. No, but do you know what I mean? Like, if you see, like, big... No, I think, I'd love to rub my hands through his thick, white hair. Through his dead, grey hair. Hair's dead. I know, it's no longer... It's as important to me as fingernails.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
I just don't get it. I'm not particularly attached to it.
No.
Less hair, more power.
Absolutely.
You've got to look at Sean Connery, Jack Nicholson, Bruce Willis.
All the best,
and
men.
Loads of other 80s icons. Yeah.
Telly Savalas.
Anyway, just get this for a really... This is Rhys Blakely. Shame on you.
Go on.
Yeah? And can I just say, Ripple for the Whipple.
Okay.
He's the science editor. Could you get rid of Rhys Blakely for this, please, Tom?
Yes. Yeah. Tom's
says,
a friend to the show.
In our image and health conscious time, the goal is often to become slim. Those extra few pounds, however, may hold the secret to curing another bane of humanity.
Whoa.
Baldness.
Bane
it's not a bane.
No one's getting hurt.
It's not a bane at all.
Mm.
I get up and I'm smart. I just don't waste any time with hair. It's brilliant.
I love it. No barbecues.
Oh, man, just to rub shampoo over just a freshly bald scalp.
Johnny, how quick is it to dry your hair?
It's just fantastic.
It's one swipe of the towel,
it's fantastic.
Isn't it? It's great.
It's just... I'd hate to go back to those days of, like, when I was slightly thinning and I wouldn't let people have, like... windows opening, cars. I was going, no. And it was a windy day and I walked down with my head
You're
down.
Back to it.
It's so good. Honestly,
you just
less
get over it.
Hair, more power. It really is. The only reason we're so openly persecuted as bald people,
yeah? Yeah.
It's because, and this must be, you can't, you know, no one can tease fat people or people for different hair colours.
Yeah.
Like, any of those, it's all become politically incorrect. You can't say anything about someone who's ginger or whatever. None of these things, they're all politically incorrect.
Yes.
But everyone can still have a go. Unless, of course, it's brought about by a condition like alopecia or a treatment. Then everyone starts to... Do you know what I was once invited to do, Gav?
What?
I was invited all the way over to Spain. It was a mate of mine who had a charity, yeah?
Yeah.
And I didn't realise it was raising money for people who are bald. I'm like, well, oh, cheers, Andy. I've got to stand here in front of a load of expats.
And
they're raising money for caps and hats.
Oh,
I'm like, what?
No.
What? So people don't suffer the embarrassment of looking like me. Oh, cheers. Thanks. That's thoughtful of you.
You were the donkey.
Yeah, I was.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang.
A woodman?
Yeah.
Do you have a hero?
I do. Okay, the hero today, Johnny, is Martin of Aragon. He lived between 1356 and 1410. So
okay.
Right at the end of the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
He was king of Aragon, Valencia, Sardinia, Corsica. He was also count of Barcelona. And for 1 year before his death, at 53 years old, he was also the king of Sicily. What a weird combination of
kingdoms.
But it is,
well, no, Sicily was always part of the two Sicilies. That was part of Naples down there, generally.
Was it? Right,
and
right.
Sardinia and Corsica were always allowed. I know, but that's a tough gig.
It's like a series of islands across the Med. It's
They
had their own alliance almost.
Gav, it was all about, there were no armies. The armies were merely projectiles to be fired by navies, Gav. Well,
right.
Unless you're Napoleon, of course. Go on.
So he is hero today, not because he was the king, but because he had the most aristocratic and medieval death I've ever read about.
Go on.
So Martin of Aragon died from a combination of indigestion and uncontrollable laughing.
God, man, I've had that.
So this is why I brought this up for you, because you've had a more than nodding acquaintance with indigestion.
Yeah.
And listen to his story, okay? So he had eaten an entire goose.
No, and a whole goose.
Which apparently he did quite regularly.
Well, eat a whole goose?
I've looked up the weight of a goose.
How much?
It's not far off a turkey. So a small goose is 10 pounds. A small turkey is 11 pounds.
You've had very small,
pounds.
Tender ones, I bet.
Right. A large goose is 13 pounds and a bit more.
Wow.
A small turkey is 11 pounds and a large turkey is about 17 pounds. So it's really not much behind a turkey.
No, not much in it at all. Not. Have you ever had a goose for Christmas? Have you ever cooked
it? Yes, I've had goose. I haven't cooked one, but I have.
Do you prefer it? Is it nicer? I've never bothered with it.
I've never had turkey. So, I've eaten turkey before, but I don't have it for Christmas.
What do you have?
We have whatever. Any other roast. I have beef sometimes.
Well, you don't have a turkey? Is that a South African thing?
Partly, and also I just don't like turkey that much.
It's you asserting your nationalist things, isn't it?
Probably,
It is. It doesn't matter. We'll analyse it during the next record, but I can tell you now, you've got some serious psychological problems I'm going to be looking into. Carry on.
So Martin of Aragon had eaten his goose, and he felt ill. He felt full of indigestion.
Yeah.
So he retired to his chamber and called for his jester, who came in. Took him a while to get to the bedroom.
Yeah.
So Martin of Aragon asked him where he'd been. And in the answer, the jester told a joke that made him laugh for 3 hours and then keel over dead. He was laughing.
What the joke was?
He died of... I've got the joke. Do you want to hear the joke?
Yes.
Okay, so... And this has been passed down over the years.
Yeah, go on.
Right, so...
This is literally... And I'll just say...
His favourite jester was called Borra. B-O-R-R-A.
Gav, do we have to warn them?
No,
this joke has killed.
Johnny, I'm going to say it's... You might have had to be there.
Okay, you had to be there. But I'm just saying, I don't know if you've got someone who's got medieval humour. Sorry, who's got the Middle Ages humour, but as opposed to middle-aged humour, very different. Gav.
So his favourite jester, Borra, told him, when he'd asked him where he'd been all this time, he said, "I was in the next vineyard, where I saw a young deer hanging by his tail from a tree, as if someone had punished him for stealing figs."
And he laughed.
Martin of Aragon died of laughing.
No, it must be innuendo.
It must be something else.
Foul innuendo, deer means.
Or it was just the delivery.
Yeah, it was timing.
Because Borra just had a way with jokes.
Yeah.
Obviously.
That's bad. But you think where the expression, "he's cooked his goose," comes from?
Yeah.
Might be because he died, ever since then, once the goose was cooked, it's all over.
Yeah, well, anyway, also, there's a warning here. If you do get indigestion easily, don't eat a whole goose.
Yeah.
Don't eat a whole goose.
Should I just say, there is so much you can learn on the 4 till 7 thing, but that is one, I think,
of the most,
well, it's an incisive observation, Gav, but also it's a bit of, it's something that might save someone with that.
Exactly.
Good one, Gav. If you get heavy indigestion, do not eat a whole goose, especially not if you're about to spend time with your jester.
That's true.
Yeah, right.
Martin of Aragon.
Martin of Aragon. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7. Thang, why we salute you. Thank you much indeed, woman.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Could be worse, though, Gavin. I mean, we could be with Little Si.
Exactly,
about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about that.
You've got a silver lining.
God knows what she goes through, that woman he married.
I know.
Christ
I know.
Knows. And I can't imagine.
They've been on lockdown, apart from anything else.
The misery. Can you imagine it?
Can you imagine it?
Well, it's like if you wrote a list of people you... Are we on air?
Johnny, the woman is a saint.
Christ alive. Yeah. Gladys Mantooth is a saint. Dorothy Mantooth is a saint. Mantooth. Sorry, it's an Anchorman quote. Little Simon, sorry about that. So we're talking about another Little Si.
Yeah, it was someone else.
Weirdly. How are you? How are you, Simon? Sorry, we're going with Little Simon. He's in his wife's flat. This enables him to rent his own out. Where is your flat?
Bexley.
That's what it
oh,
was.
Oh,
Bexworthley.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
Bexley. Wow, like a war zone. Wow,
it's
man.
Very nice.
I mean, for you, unless, you do you know, I didn't realise quite how far you've gone up in the world. But literally, your parents...
Bexley to Chiswick.
It's like a Dick Whittington story, isn't
Disney
it? Really is. It's a Disney movie, isn't it? He went from Bexley to Chiswick.
Wow.
Wow.
It's like Dick Whittington all over again.
So many people aspire to that, and you've lived the dream just through marriage, not just a stroke at work.
Wonderful.
Simon, how was your weekend?
Yeah, all right. I just talking about my wife.
Yeah, go on.
Yesterday, right, my hair has gone totally wild.
It
really has.
I've wimped out on trying to cut it myself. Anyway, last night, Emily said, it's like going to bed with Gene Wilder.
Wow.
Wow, man.
What a
That's
thought.
That's how bad it is.
Was it a good night? Well, it'd be worse, though. I've got to tell you, if in the morning she said, I've never had a night like but last night, but last night you were superb.
Oh, Gene.
Yeah. Can I call you Gene? Yeah, right. That would suit him, wouldn't it?
It would.
More than Ruthie.
It would,
if
yeah.
If he called you for a wee while.
Next time he has a stern back and sides, he'll be Ruthie again.
He'll be Ruthie. Yeah. What did you get up to over the weekend apart from Gene Wilder role
well,
play?
I got a new package of clothing. I'm trying to...
What do you mean a new package of
clothing?
Was it some kind of aid?
I'm transitioning into my summer wardrobe now.
Oh,
so I thought
the whole Ruthie thing there. Go on then.
What have you got?
Sorry. I've got some new shorts.
Oh, wow.
Some baby pink shorts. Yeah, what do you think?
I would say it's great, but it's going to look like you're naked.
It is.
You are baby pink.
Exactly.
So that's your colour. I mean, it's, what you essentially bought is flesh-toned shorts.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I need to send them back, I think.
Can I just say, if I was you, yeah, and this is from someone who's I'm also pretty pale, although TJ gets a bit of a tan, is go for something. If you've got our skin tone, yeah, and I'm being charitable here. Yeah. If I was you, I'd go for something contrasting.
Yes.
Right.
Because at the moment, it's just like an invisible man or something. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work, but it'll for a weird moment, it'll freak people out.
Okay.
It might work with a teal patent leather belt.
Oh,
okay,
man,
right, they're going back.
A bold colour belts. Whoa, terrible.
Oh, God. Right. And then also another highlight. You want another highlight?
Yeah. Right, okay. No, I just want a highlight. What do you mean another? As opposed to what? You've bought some shorts.
I'm all full up of highlights.
Yeah, you've bought some shorts and you got hair like Gene Hunt, which is I'm waiting for one.
Oh, dear. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Well, I sorted out my spice rack.
Now, that is exciting to me.
Country-specific spices.
What?
Like what?
Yeah,
how
so
you
I've
going?
Got,
how
well,
you
not country. I'm. It's more kind of...
Continent.
You know, continent. So I've gone for like your Middle Eastern...
Like what? What you got in there?
Well, I've got harissa spices, then baharat, and then a bit of fenugreek.
A bit of ras el hanout? No?
These are things you've just bought for one recipe.
Yeah,
never used again. I bet there's like 2007 on some of those things.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. Just chuck
them
out. You're much better off with spices. Chuck them out. Just buy new ones when you're cooking that again. Honestly.
Okay. Have you got any fenugreek?
Yeah, I got fenugreek.
Wow. You hardly ever use it.
He just said fenugreek was one of the ones you listed. He said fenugreek.
I just
said fenugreek. That's a coincidence. He just said that.
I've only ever used this one. It's bouquet garni. I don't even know what it is.
No, that's just a fake bouquet garni. Bouquet garni is just a load of herbs clumped round.
They're
some clumped.
They generally put it in like a little sort of bag,
like a tea bag. But you wouldn't ever use a dried herb bouquet garni. That is a waste of time.
So yeah. Chuck it out. What else you got?
Throw it in the bin.
Yeah. So that's the highlights.
No Zafash or whatever it's called.
Oh, no, I haven't got that.
Oh, no, that's a good one. I don't know what it is. I've got Muddler. It's the name of a chemist I use.
Okay.
it's one of London's only 24-hour chemists. Wow. I think with that, we can go to the working from home whistle. Let's do it.
Yeah, all right.
That seems like a nice place to move on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I proclaim the working day over.
Beautiful work site. Beautiful work. No doubt about it.
Lovely whistle.
Speak to you tomorrow, Simon. Same time, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
If you can fit us in.
I'm running dry.
Not really. So, well it's actually no, Simon, because it's just normal service. So I don't want to be too unkind there. Don't run dry. Keep thinking stuff up, Si. Don't give up, all right? Bye, Simon.
See ya. Radio
X. Guys, ever since I told you about the time my dad used, he just bought a brand new wetsuit in Captain O.M. Watts in the West in London because he just started sailing a dinghy and he was desperate to try it out, even with the balaclava, which he just looked ridiculous. He's got quite a little fat face and it really squidged it in the front, just looked absurd. So he came home quickly, ran a cold bath, put the black rubber suit on. And my mum's raced in. You've all heard the story. Because she needs a pee after she's been shopping. She's raced straight in. Downstairs bathroom. She's had a bathroom on the ground floor for some reason.
Yeah.
She got and sat down. Suddenly my dad's emerged from the darkness.
Sat
of the
up mother, like a yeah, zombie yeah, come yeah, to
my mother nearly got more than the number one. Anyway, the point about it is that is terrifying. But it is eccentric. It's my dad being balmy.
It is very
dad-like.
He does
a lot of really eccentric things. Luckily, your dads do too. It's Dad's Balmy. So, we've had the dad who wears plastic bags over his wellies because he doesn't like his wellies getting dirty. The dad who once marinated a chicken breast with Fruits of the Forest yogurt. And the dad who pre-drills mushrooms to prepare for kebab skewers. I sort of get that. If you've got a pillar drill, it must be quite satisfying.
Yeah, also, they can split those mushrooms. So, if you pre-drill, it's quite sensible,
I think it's brilliant, man. There should be a kitchen pillar drill. Go on, Gab, what we got? Oh, I'll go first.
Go on.
This is Dominic in Worthing. Thank you so much for this, Dominic. Hope, incidentally, all your dads are well.
Yeah.
It's just dads at the moment. I could do everyone else. We're just having dads at the moment.
Yeah.
I hope your dad's eccentric, but healthy. Okay, while working in my local pub many years ago, one of the locals said, "Isn't that your father walking past?" I turned to be greeted by the sight of my old man wandering past the pub wearing a baseball cap donned with a solar panel and a little fan.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Gab, what do you got?
Rob sent us this. He says, "My dad built a camping trailer in our back garden. It took many weekends to complete until the day he proudly announced it to my mum that it was done. She took one look and asked my dad how he was getting the 6-foot trailer through the 3-foot access alley."
It's a good question. When we moved up north in these unhappy days from North London, in what I describe as the most miserable chapter of my life, my dad, he was obsessed with this guy who lived in the next village. Yeah. And he used to stop outside the house and he used to go, "Happening there, son?"
What's he talking about?
Well, my dad used to sail things called fireballs, which is a really 70s dinghy. It's just capsized really easily, but they're very fast on like a broad reach with the spinnaker.
Okay,
they're very fast. They look like they're skimming over the water, but a really 70s boat.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in this village, Thistleton, who'd built one in his attic.
Wow.
And my dad was so excited, but he said, couldn't get it out, could he?
He must have worked it out.
It's like a ship in a bottle. Yeah.
It is literally like a ship.
So he used to walk past it and said, if you go in that house, there's a fireball in the attic. He couldn't get it out. He thought he'd get it out because it had barn doors at the top. And he said, but he couldn't quite get it out. He measured it.
He was going to block and tackle it or something.
He said he hadn't allowed for the gunnels or whatever, the bit round the side. He just hadn't allowed. He couldn't get it out. He said he's up there ever since.
Wow.
But my dad, the look in my dad's eyes, he'd always wanted to build a boat. He loved the guy. He literally, it was love.
He worshipped it.
He even liked the fact that there was just a boat in there still. He said, still, you saw something to potter on. I think, what? You got Sesame Potter on a boat that's in your attic?
You're never going to sail it.
But he could do, John.
Boat always needs some work. That's what he said. Boat always needs some work, John.
If you thought,
what are you
going to
do?
Water,
trim it a bit.
Yeah. Tacking and jiving
he
in
loved
the attic.
I'm not kidding. He loved the guy.
I bet.
He really did. That guy was like his god.
Wow.
Anyway, you got Becky in Cumbria here. I was with my dad at a shop and there were plastic whistles on the counter. They probably cost less than a quid.
Yeah.
I asked if I could have one and my dad said no, but he would make me one. He spent all afternoon in the garage, nearly lost a finger, but lo and behold, made me a whistle that only he could get to work. Okay, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with a show called UFO.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. It was about Earth being invaded by people. It was from the same makers as Thunderbirds and Stingray.
Okay,
this was their
right,
first
yeah.
live action thing. But there's a guy in charge called Ed Straker, and their front in this war on aliens was a film company.
Right.
But they also had a moon base, a big submarine.
Wow.
They had these UFOs that used to come down. And anyway, I became obsessed at the time with Ed Straker, the leader of the Earth's, of I suppose Earth's defences against an alien force.
Yeah.
And he used to have this brilliant briefcase, which it was thin, grey, and inside it had all the foam cut out for like his gun.
Gadgets,
all his gadgets nice. And
yeah,
things, yeah.
Yeah?
So I said, that's what I want. I want an Ed Straker briefcase. My dad said, so I'll make you one.
He made you one? What did he make it out of?
Wood.
What, plywood?
Yes.
Was it slim?
No.
Did it have perfectly
no,
cut
used
out
to,
gadget
I used to
foam?
Bruise my legs when I walked with it.
It wasn't a Straker.
No, it wasn't. He painted it with gloss, grey. Inside, it was just wood. But he'd even used, you know the drop-down bits for paperwork in the
yeah,
top, yeah?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, well, he'd used, for his hinge, he'd used fertiliser bags.
What?
Inside.
As the material.
Inside the Ed Straker case. And he looked at me like, how about that, son?
There you go, son.
No, I remember taking it around thinking, just for a day, I look like Ed Straker. And people, and like even my, he started my sister and her mates laughing, like, what have you got?
What
I was like, what? I look like Ed Straker.
A plywood suitcase.
Said, no, you know, he's like, oh, you've just got a box with a handle. A weird box.
Oh,
right.
Oh, man.
Radio X.
This is the 4 Till 7 thing. I'm Johnny Vaughan. Why, over there is Gavin the Woodman Woods.
Yes, he is.
And there's two things we're obsessed with. Well, there's many things we're obsessed with, but...
Yeah.
In terms of the fauna of Britain, our two chief obsessions. One, squirrels.
Yes.
Yeah,
squirrels.
And grey squirrels. Squirrels.
Yeah.
Also, seagulls.
The gull.
The gull. Psycho seagulls. Well,
yeah.
Do you know something? I've got a twofer for you. I've got a twofer for you today.
A story with both breeds?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Well, no, both species.
Species?
They're not breeds
no,
of the same
not,
thing.
No.
Yeah. Well, both breeds of squirrel. The seagull and the squirrel. Yeah. Get this, Gav.
Go on.
Now, we all know seagulls are a constant menace
yes.
To beachgoers across the world and to anyone going near the seaside and in towns as well. There's no end to their evil.
No.
But there's no boundaries. There's no borders anymore.
No.
Their true savage nature of the gull can only really be appreciated when you look at their attacks on the smaller animals of the world. Now, I would urge the government to remember this as they still hold fast with their policy of not letting us go gulling
yeah,
freely.
Yeah, it seems strange, yes.
With some serious hardware.
Gulling guns.
I might add, yeah. And outfits and tweeds.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially tweeds. We need tweeds for a gulling tweed. Early this month, get this, a grey-backed seagull. And this just gives you a much more international picture, like in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps places a little bit more primitive.
Sure.
That, or seen as like sort of, you know, less developed.
Yes.
Just to how gulls are really out of control. Get this.
Go on.
Early this month, a grey-backed seagull was caught on camera in Wales.
Wow. Caught, you say?
Yeah, it's caught on camera in Wales. As I say, it's a less developed world. Pulling, I'm kidding. Pulling a rabbit out of its burrow and swallowing it whole.
You're joking.
No, a seagull has been down
little
a rabbit.
Fluffy
yeah,
bunny.
A little fluffy bunny wolfed it down. Well, gulled it down.
I mean, we knew they were evil, but this is getting silly.
Yes. Seagulls have also now, they've turned on pigeon. Yeah, so it's bird on bird action.
Wow.
Sounds a bit odd.
Wow.
But anyway, obviously, the coronavirus has halted pest control measures across the UK. Tragic. This could be the real fallout from this, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Unknown
years to
consequences,
come.
Yeah.
So these birds are wreaking havoc across the UK. Do you know what's happened?
What?
There is footage out now of a black-backed seagull
yeah.
trying to squil-
kill a squirrel.
You are joking.
No.
Taking on a live squirrel?
Yeah, it drags the furry animal towards a fence. Another squirrel then tries to defend his mate, yeah?
Oh.
And attacks the seabird.
Yeah.
The squirrel squirms while the hungry gull refuses to let go. It was to eat a sodding squirrel.
Oh, my God. Because they just swallow things whole, gulls,
needless
don't they?
To say, horrified sunseekers just stand around and film it. They don't want to interfere. It's
no.
like war photographers. When there's just three people there and they've just done this.
Yeah.
Just hold it there.
Yeah.
Carry on making the atrocity, please. Can we have a bit more attitude, please, victim?
There's a lot of that with phones, isn't there?
No, there is. Yeah, there really is. I'll just
films it, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
It was an awful thing
I've
ever stood helplessly by.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, do have a look at that. It's on the Daily Star website.
Oh, my God.
Just remember, your Daily Star's got it all. Still top family entertainment.
Squirrels, gulls, the works.
Well, you get the four S's, Gav.
What's that?
Squirrels,
yeah.
Seagulls,
yeah.
Sex and sport. No, it's the four S's.
Oh, God, sounds romantic.
All in the star, it's five.
Oh, lovely.
Because for me, the star means seagulls, squirrel, sex and spout.
That's what you get when you reach for the star.
Yeah.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Okay, no matter how badly we've got it here, right? And we've got it badly, yeah?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, there's the expression, worst things happen at sea.
Yeah, yeah.
And people say, you know, and for ages I tried to look for something that's the land, that's the sea equivalent of that. Because, you know, I spend a lot of time yachting and sailing and just
sure.
generally just having fun on the high seas.
Sure. Yeah.
And we always say, me and my crew, you know, worst things happen in Turkish prisons.
Right. You know. Which is a fairly safe
Yeah, fact. And then I loop the appropriate footage from Midnight Express
to
demonstrate that.
Yeah.
You know, what could go wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Not a pretty sight.
But worst things happen in Russia is a good.
It's a safe bet.
It's a good. It's a good rule of thumb. Worst things happen in Russian car parks. I'm now going to add to that. Yeah. So that's the expression.
Okay.
That's the expression. You say. Let me tell you. Worst things happen in Russian car parks. People go, "What are you talking about?" I said, "This is what I'm talking about." Get ready for this. Yeah.
Go on.
A man. How do you feel about rabies, Gav?
I don't enjoy it.
Okay, fair enough.
Especially not on a Wednesday.
I fear rabies more than C19.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to get either, but rabies tends to look horrible. Yeah.
It does, yeah. A man was taken to hospital after being attacked by a rabid bear.
No.
Yep, on the streets of a Russian city.
No.
Of all the things you can say about Britain, that's not going to happen. We've got some fairly nasty youths. You know, you go around like the streets of Leeds sometimes.
A rabid bear.
Yeah. And we got sort of there's some bad stuff goes on post match, say down at Millwall.
Sure.
My God.
A rabid
bear. I'm trying
bear.
To think what the most terrifying things on the streets of Britain is. I don't think.
Well, bears can run faster than humans.
37 miles an hour, Gav.
Yeah, so you can't, especially not in an underground car park.
No, don't run, because run gets the game.
Anyway, it gets them excited.
Listen to this. Zevgeny Zlotov, yeah?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, he's in a lot of trouble. So, Yevgeny Zlotov, who, let me tell you, is now experiencing a lot of pain as well.
I bet he is, yeah.
He encountered the brown bear walking home. He's through a car park. Yeah,
this is amazing.
In the fine old city of Yaroslavl. It's about 160 miles north of Moscow. You probably know.
Okay, yeah.
And they showed the footage they've got on CCTV. Shows the animal leaping at Mr. Zlotov and just sinking its teeth in.
Oh, my God.
He was saved by a taxi driver. Now, you're thinking, well, that's plucky, the taxi driver. Oh, yeah, really brave, the taxi driver. Do you know what he did?
What?
He stayed in his car, flashed his headlights, and just used his horn. Can I say, that's my way of saving people from bears as well.
Yeah, that would be my technique, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind
a
being the guy.
A ton of metal between me and the bear.
Thank God for the quick thinking by that hero in his car. I might have a pinch run it over. But
I think we're going to say he parked him in.
No, he didn't, no. He says, Mr. Zlotov was saved by a taxi driver parked nearby who beeped his horn and flashed his headlights to frighten the bear away. I thought he would die in front of me. Mind you, normally in Russia, if you hear that someone's, you know, honked and flashed twice, there's no guarantee they're in a car.
That's true. Yes. Why did you make me think
I don't
of
know.
That?
I don't know why. Yeah, gratuitous humour.
Radio X.
So I've got a crisis, Gav.
What?
Do you like this? Apropos of nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've got a crisis, Kev.
Yeah.
Well, I've been watching television. Only in my bedroom have I got really good air conditioning.
Okay.
And so I've been headed up there, but I haven't paid for BT Sport on two boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I've got that issue myself.
And now I've run out. I've pretty well played all. I've watched all sport available on Netflix.
You've watched all the sports,
All sports documentaries. I've seen the entire 30 for 30. I love a sports documentary. Do you know why?
Why?
They're just so easy to understand.
They are, yeah.
Basically, they set up each time you have a game, someone wins, and then it's like highlight form.
It's great, yeah.
And you get some really funny people being interviewed.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I was watching someone being interviewed today. Now, as you may or may not, I'm a massive fan of... I only really like college sports. I just really enjoy it. I like the fact these are kids.
Particularly college football.
Well, I like SEC football, which is the Southeastern Conference, which is down south. That includes
Alabama
and Auburn. That's War Eagle, and they hate each other.
We're all tired.
And
War
any
Eagle,
time they do documentaries on them, they always say, this is known as the biggest rivalry in sport. There is no love lost between Ole Miss and SMU and Georgia Tech, the Dogs.
And Mississippi.
They're just called the Dogs.
Yeah.
But for a while, they were called the Junkyard Dogs.
Which ones are the Hogs?
The Arkansas Razorbacks.
Right.
They have the best battle chant, battle song, which is the whole crowd just goes, Sui! 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 And then as they're kicking off, they go, Sui! They go, Good Dogs! Sui! Razorbacks.
Wow.
Sorry, Hogs, not
Yeah,
dogs.
Hogs, yeah. So that must be a pig farmer's call. That's probably what they call out.
See?
So the pig.
Yeah, that's fantastic. The Georgia Tech, they just go Dogs. Sick 'em.
Do they? That's their chant.
Yeah, when you've got 90,000 people doing it, it sounds quite gross. So they're getting crowds at college games in America. I don't know if you probably all knew this. They get bigger crowds than the NFL. Much bigger.
Blew my mind when you
just
told
for
me
their
that,
universities. Yeah. And they're not going anywhere. Anyway. My favourite team is, you know, it's Bama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide. Roll damn Tide, I tell you now.
You got too much Bama in you.
You got too much Bama in you, boy. That was the defence offered by an offence player who got off the bench and tackled a player from Auburn.
During the game.
During the game. He's just running down the line. He just tackles it. You're thinking, it's mad. Someone's actually just getting off the bench. And someone's just running past down the touchline. He just tackles it.
He just couldn't help it.
Yeah. That's why he said, I'm sorry, Judge. I got too much Bama in me. Which is exactly the defence offered by the guy who poisoned Auburn's trees.
Killed the trees.
Killed the trees. They ain't dead now. 2 years down the line, they're going to be dead.
Yeah, Roll Tide.
No, Roll Damn Tide.
Oh, that's right. He said on a radio interview,
anyway,
didn't he? Yeah.
They were talking about Bear Bryant.
The coach.
This is the coach of Alabama, the most famous coach. And it's just such a funny bit of advice. He just says, this bloke's saying, I remember when I started playing and Bear Bryant looked at me. And we're thinking, how can we win this? Where can we find that?
He'd come out of the army. He wasn't a normal student.
He'd been out of the Marines.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just gone. And he's looked at me. He says, I want you out there thinking like a wild man. A wild man set free. I want you out. It's the best bit of advice. And I just so wish my son was still sort of playing sort of 8-year-old football.
So you could give him that advice.
So I could just look at my 8-year-old, 9-year-old son, goalkeeper, and go, you get out there, boy, you think like a wild man. A wild man set free. Radio X. Here's some under COVID reporting. You ready?
Go on.
Farmers in China are being offered maybe some sort of world exciting music. Like, did.
This just did. Kind of news, worldwide newsy,
you know,
kind of
like that. Like
bulletin some kind of sound.
I know. I'm not going to drag on about it, but I'm not going to bang on about it. Big size certainly would have lined up something.
Oh, by now.
No doubt about it.
Easily. Here we go.
We've had a proper jingle.
Ah.
Number set up. Right, so.
What you got?
In China, farmers are being offered cash to stop breeding exotic animals as pressure grows. Can I just say to the Chinese, yeah? What, you need an incentive, do you? What's happening to the rest of the world?
Please stop eating exotic animals.
Please stop eating. What does it take? I don't get the... Otherwise, what might happen? What? Suddenly the world might be in the grip of a viral pandemic.
Just weird.
That threatens to wipe us all out. Yeah, I mean, it's nice that you're now offering cash incentives. Because what else could encourage them?
Exactly.
Come on, lads.
And that rhino horn thing, it doesn't.
Just lay off the rhino. It doesn't work anyway. Just get Viagra.
Yeah.
Italy. Luigi Di Maio, the foreign minister, has urged Germans to spend their summer holidays in Italy as the country plans to reopen. Yeah.
Wow.
So mentally, I'm now ruling in Spain. Can I urge all Germans to head there as well this summer? we should go alternate countries though, so there's no clash of us.
Take turns, yeah.
Just make sure we're never in the same country. In Japan, this is a thing. The way they've got their cinemas opening. This is interesting. This is. We'll be the judge of that. Okay.
Go on. How do they do cinema?
The 1959 epic Ben-Hur and the musical The Wizard of Oz, they're coming back to the big screen on cinemas outside Tokyo.
Wow.
Also, they're showing East of Eden and Bonnie and Clyde. Also, The Towering Inferno. This is the Toho cinema chain. They've implemented safety measures, including keeping every other seat empty and making staff and customers wear masks. Can I say... What they've done is, you see, they don't want the big blockbusters there because that'll get too many people there.
Yes.
So they've just...
They've gone for a medium ground.
Well,
yeah.
No, not even medium ground. I mean, they've gone for... I mean, talk about a slow burner. They've gone for Ben-Hur.
Yeah, they really have. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I say slow burner. They crucified him, didn't they?
You
know, that's more your Joan of Arc, your slow burning martyr.
That's that kind of martyrdom
that's
story.
More your sort of burning martyr. Anyway, so there's a bit more from around the world. This is brilliant. This is why... Putin's the man for me. Yeah?
This is why
he's, politically, he's my man.
What's the news out of Russia?
Because he's just the best.
Go on.
And this is another reason why. Because Mikhail Mishustin, the Prime Minister, he's been ordered back to work. He's had 3 weeks fighting COVID-19.
Oh, he's been ill?
Yeah.
Right.
But President Putin has now signed a decree ordering him to resume his duties.
Run it off!
Yes.
Get back to work.
Run it off, man.
Get back into work.
Mr. Mishustin, he was appointed by Putin earlier this year. He stayed in hospital, but joined in government meetings appearing behind a desk in a suit.
Right.
No further details about his recovery or condition were released by the Kremlin. But anyway, he's been ordered now... they've got the second highest number of infections after the US at the moment.
Yeah.
How about that? He's been ordered back to work. Back you go. Back you go,
get
mate.
Get in there.
Stop the show. And lastly, this is the most stupid thing I've heard in all the... This is ridiculous. In Israel,
go on.
Inventors have developed a coronavirus mask with a remote control mouth. It lets diners eat food. It's a device that could take social distancing danger. It's a little squeeze of a lever,
yeah.
Which... much like a cyclist operates a handbrake, just opens a slot.
What, you eat like Pac-Man?
Yeah, in front of us. Yeah, exactly.
The conversation
was
sparkling.
Wait a second. Hey, that's not bad. It's the big one.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
We've all got that friend or colleague that takes lying to the next level. They're masters of the ancient art, ladies and gentlemen. Bullshitter. So far, in the dojo of deceit, we've had Deceitful Darren, who says that You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate was written about his nan.
I'd forgotten that one.
It's just beautiful, isn't it? How about this?
Yeah, that was the guy.
The guy who wrote on the... We still had the guy who said his mum invented drawing.
That's right.
A guy who rode on the back of two dolphins whilst barefoot skiing off the coast of Mexico. Bullshit up! And Kizza's friend... who once resuscitated his skydiving instructor in midair.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable. Please send your bullshido stories to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Let's see what's going on. Let's sweep the leg of truth and enter the dojo of deceit. Here we go. This is from Doug. Thank you so much, Doug. An absolute beauty. A mate came out with a classic motorcycle bullshido. Still makes me laugh 20 years later. I know, I've really wet you out.
Well, it's a strong area, isn't
sorry,
it?
Sorry, Doug has wet our appetites with this, hasn't he? He told us he bought a new bike so powerful he couldn't stop it wheeling.
Everywhere.
When he first rode it home, he apparently didn't realise the front wheel was in the air until he tried to brake for a roundabout. And by the time he got it on the floor... he was going too fast and had to jump it, landing on the back wheel before carrying on wheeling all the way home. Thank you so much. It is bullshit.
Yeah, he just decided to jump the roundabout.
Yeah, that's what you got, brilliant. Kev?
Adele in Manchester says,
hello, Adele.
My old colleague used to lie a lot and once told us that his dad was so rich that before he died, he hid all his money in offshore accounts in Santa Barbara to avoid inheritance tax. He just chooses to live in a council house in Carlisle.
Right.
This was also his supermodel girlfriend he showed us a picture of, which turned out to be a stock photo from a Next
beautiful
catalogue.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That's a classic.
Tick
isn't it?
Two boxes in your album of bullshit. Get this. This is from Missing Man on Twitter. Thank you so much, Missing Man. Absolute great work, this. A bloke at my rugby club reckons he's got a Lamborghini.
Aventador.
Aventador in his garage, but can't get insurance as he's got too many enemies from his time in the SBS. He put the BS
he's
in
SBS. He's got a Lambo, he's got special forces.
He put the Gav, he put the BS in SBS, he really did.
Really did, yeah.
Although, if your affiliation's with the regiment, I'd say everyone does.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of my old regiment pals. Yeah. We don't like to talk about it, but we all... ladies and gentlemen, Bullshito! Send your Bullshito stories to 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Tweet at Radio X.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Note, subscribe.
Subscribe.
Yeah. Please hit the subscribe button now, and you'll get the 427 Thang downloaded straight to your device every Friday. Also, if you want to get in touch, you can email johnny@radiox.co.uk. It's a bit like that scene with Chaz in Wedding Crashers. My emails. When Chaz is talking about his mom.
Yeah, hey, mom.
What's a meatloaf?
It's a meatloaf.
And then he turns around to Owen Wilson. He says, I don't know what she does back there. And he's just pointing to the kitchen.
Yeah, to another bit
I don't
of
know what she
house.
Does back there. And I don't know what happens back there in the pocket, but I gather people do get in touch. So
they do, yeah.
And it, apparently it all works with Liberty and Fraternity for All. Mm. We'd love to hear your Martin's Hot Tap themes and stories, your tales of talking to pets, heroes of bullshitos or liars, any nicknames you've heard for our hunt for the world's greatest nickname, anything. Well, I'd describe it as any old For all that, if you've got any old email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Have a good bank holiday weekend, have a good week, and thank you. Radio X.